Elizabeth Banks has teamed up with State Street Global Advisors to uncover the bold moves mid-cap companies make to thrive and survive. It's a podcast and film series called Crazy Enough to Work. Discover it online and wherever you find your podcasts. Provided by State Street Global Advisors Funds Distributors, LLC.
Your Money Briefing. Money and market stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. The economy looks rosy now, but what should investors be on the lookout for during the rest of the year? We'll speak with the president of Guidestone Capital Management in a moment to get some answers. First, these money headlines. Wall Street Journal chief economics commentator Greg Ipp says as strong as the economy's second quarter growth of 4.1% was, it's unlikely to be repeated soon. He points out some of that growth may be a one-off rise as people spent their tax cut. But a tight labor market causing companies to boost wages put money in people's pockets as well. And earlier this month, we reported that the U.S. homeownership rate continues to climb, with more Americans benefiting from the sharp rise in home values in recent years. We've gotten word also that foreign purchases of U.S. homes had their biggest drop ever, bringing relief to waves of American house hunters who have struggled to compete in affluent neighborhoods with wealthy buyers from abroad. The National Association of Realtors says that purchases by international buyers totaled $121 billion in the fiscal year ended in March. That's down 21% from the previous year and the largest on record. Economists point out the sharp decline in purchases reflected higher home prices, a strengthening dollar, and intensifying political tensions between the U.S. and other parts of the world. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal. Welcome back, everybody. We got a burst of good economic news on Friday with word that the economy grew at the strongest pace in nearly 4 years in the second quarter. And while that'll please Wall Street, investors should still keep a watchful eye on myriad economic indicators. And David Spica is president of Guidestone Capital Management, and he's here with us to discuss. So, David, the saying goes, chance favors the prepared man or woman. And at first glance, it wouldn't appear a recession is near. But what can investors do to prepare themselves for inevitable bumps in the road? Are there particular headlines to look out for down the road?
Sure. I would agree that it doesn't appear a recession is on the horizon. We are very long in the tooth in this economic expansion and in the bull market. But as you mentioned, growth in the second quarter was over 4%. Unemployment is still very, very strong, or the employment rate is very, very high. And there's still a lot of data that would indicate the economy is going well. But in order to prepare, I think it's important for investors to note that this has been a very powerful and very long bull market. And it's probably better to prepare ahead of time. You don't want to get too greedy. So at this point, it's probably a good idea to start thinking about being a little bit defensive. It doesn't mean you sell your equities and hide out in cash, but cash rates are going up. Cash is now becoming a more viable investment option. There are other strategies besides stocks and bonds that do make sense in this environment and that can protect you against the inevitable volatility that we're likely to face.
And so it's a good idea for investors to take some risk off their portfolio?
Absolutely. I think now's a good time to do some de-risking. So, for instance, you saw what happened with Facebook after they had their earnings announcement that was disappointing. The stock was down 24 or 25% after hours. Been a great company to own, but clearly at certain points, expectations get very, very high for stocks, get very high for asset classes, and we're at that point now. That's when there's a lot of risk that investors don't really notice. So taking some money off the table, reinvesting in less volatile asset classes, even bonds are a little bit dicey at this point, but there are other asset classes that make sense to own at this point.
Speaking of bonds, as we reported this month on Your Money Briefing, concerns over trade and inflation have caused some investors to move out of U.S. stocks and into bonds, but you feel that bonds don't always provide enough downside protection. Where do you recommend investors look?
Yeah, in this environment, bonds are just as expensive as stocks are. With interest rates at historic lows, we're now seeing the Fed start to raise interest rates. And the other thing I don't think investors realize is credit spreads, so on corporate bonds, are very narrow. So not only can you be hurt when interest rates go up, you can be hurt when those credit spreads expand. So other strategies that
might— Can you just explain for some of our people in our audience what a credit spread is?
So a credit spread would be the yield on a corporate bond relative to a comparable maturity treasury bond. So treasuries are risk-free. It's an obligation of the U.S. government, whereas all corporations issue debt, and that's not risk-free. So it's a difference in that yield. And as that yield contracts, the bonds are getting more and more rich and more risky. So at some point, that yield has to expand, and that usually happens when you're getting close to a recession. There are asset classes that are available today. Liquid alternative strategies is an example that offer protection against rising interest rates and also offer protection against volatility in the stock market. So those are asset classes that can be varied from currency to option strategies to long-short equity strategies, things that don't have that interest rate sensitivity that bonds have, but also will protect you when the stock market declines.
So it's a bit of an insulation.
Absolutely. And you wouldn't want to put your entire portfolio in those asset classes, but a portion of it, particularly when we're this late in the cycle, the Fed's raising interest rates, all indications are that the market's getting a little bit long in the tooth. That makes sense at this point.
Now, Facebook in its earnings report, David, gave some guidance between now and the end of the year that said that things might not be as rosy. What could that tell us about the overall economy?
Well, that is specific to Facebook, but Netflix also had a weaker than expected earnings report. And we're seeing guidance from a lot of corporate managers here in the reporting second quarter earnings that indicates they're worried about trade issues. They're worried about rising interest rates. They're worried about rising costs, whether that be commodity costs or wage gains and things of that nature. And so I do think that's something that we need to pay attention to. It should make investors somewhat cautious, again, realizing that stock prices are at pretty extended valuations. We're 9 years plus into this bull market. At some point, the stock market's going to have to roll over. And the Fed raising rates, we can't discount that either, because that always occurs prior to a downturn in the market.
And just to take a step back now for a moment, in terms of a broader philosophy of putting money to work, you also suggest investors could explore the differences between value-based and faith-based investing. Can you just briefly explain that?
Sure. Faith-based investing would be investing in companies that are consistent with your faith values. So at Guidestone, we are a Christian firm. We operate completely undergirded by Christian values. And so our portfolios reflect that. So we do not invest in certain industries that are not consistent with our values. And so we've got lots of investors that also have the same values, and they don't want to support industries that they don't believe in, that they object to. And so they're interested in owning our funds.
So for an investor who aligns with a certain particular set of beliefs or customs or such, they could do research if a firm invests in particular categories.
They could, but you know what? We do that research for them. So we've got certain industries that we screen out. Tobacco happens to be one of those. We don't think tobacco is consistent with promoting the emotional and physical well-being of society, and it's not consistent with our Christian values. So we don't own companies that are publicly recognized as producing tobacco products. And so we screen those out. We have a proprietary research process that allows us to screen those out, and those companies, those securities, are not held in our portfolios.
All right. That is David Spica. He's president of Guidestone Capital Management, and he's joining us here in our studio. David, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.